All right, so we left off. We left off on page, today's daf is Kuf Yud Tes, 119. We left off on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Amud Rabbi Yossi. We're going to go quickly today. 3, 6, 9 lines up from the bottom. But Amud Rabbi Yossi, Miyamai lo ra'u koros beisi in Imri Chaluki. Rabbi Yossi says, literally, the walls of my home never saw the hem of my garment. Rabbi Yossi, what that means, Rashi points out over here, is it's talking about tznius. That if somebody, remember, they wore long robe-like items. So if somebody was getting undressed, they would pull it over their head. They would pull it over their head, and the garments would come inside out. Rabbi Yossi was saying, is that I never got undressed. I never got undressed in an uncovered fashion. Instead, Rashi points out, what he would do is he would go ahead and go under the covers and undress himself that way. That way he was never fully exposed. But Amar Rabbi Yossi, miyamalo avarti al divrei chaver, right? So Rabbi Yossi says, I never violated the words of my friends. Yodea ani ba'atzmi she'ani kohen, she'ani kohen. I know I'm not a kohen. Im omrim li chaveri ala l'duchen ani ola. And if my friends were to tell me go up in duchen, I would go up. What is Rabbi Yossi trying to say? The Rashab points out a little bit of hyperbole over here. But the Rashab points out that again, what he's saying over here is, I always defer to... What's wrong?
This is the pasuk you've been looking for.
What's the pasuk I'm looking for?
To be a Kohen.
To be a Kohen, right? I need all of you to tell me I'm a Kohen, and that's it. So, thank you, Akiva. That's it. So he says over here, what he's talking about is, I always surrounded myself with good people, and therefore I always deferred to their advice. He's saying, even to the point, if they told me that I was a Kohen, I should go up in Duchen, I would go up in Duchen, because I'm a Kohen. All right. But I'm Rabbi Yossi. This is actually a very profound statement, Rabbi Yossi. Miyamai lo amarti dover vechazarti la'achorai. I never said something that I had to back down from. Rabbi Yossi, listen to this statement. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Lo amarti davar vechazarti la'achorai. Shimba misha amarti alav davar. If I said something about someone, and that person came to me, v'sha'al im amarti kain alav, and he asked me, I heard, Rabbi Yossi, that you said this about me, lo chazarti bileimar eno kidvarav. I never denied it. L'fisha mitchila emes amarti. Because Rabbi Yossi says, whatever I said was truthful. Rabbi Yossi says, I never said something that I about someone that I later had to deny saying. It's a very, that's a ma'ila. Now, Rabbi Yossi Rashi points out over here, v'kasava Rabbi Yossi holds kamilsa demis amra ba'ape mara les ba mishum lishna bisha. Because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that anything that you would say to the face of a person is not considered lashon hara. And Rabbi Yossi, we don't paskin that way, l'maisa. Because there are plenty of things that people would say to other people's faces, and they do say to, that they shouldn't say to other people's faces, and it's still called Hashanah. But the point is, Rabbi Yossi was saying is, I never said something that I would be too embarrassed to tell the person that I actually said about them. Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Nachman. Tisili, I should receive reward. The Kayamas Gimel Sudos B'Shabbos, because I diligently or vigilantly do the 3 sudos on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, tisi li de kayomis iun tefila. Rabbi Yehuda says that I should receive reward, talking about Olam Haba, because I daven with a lot of kavana. Both these rabbis are speaking about the idea that although one is supposed to become proficient in many mitzvos, in all mitzvos, truth is most of us have strengths that allow us to become exceptionally proficient in certain mitzvos. So these tamarim, what we're talking about, the different mitzvahs that they were very, very meticulous with. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Breit Rav Yoshua. I also just want to point out, Tosos does, but we can't get into it today, that Rav Yehuda says that I was Mekayim Iyun Tfila. So Tosos points out that the Gemara Maseches Brachos talks about the idea that Iyun Tfila is something you're actually supposed to stay away from. So Tosos points out that there are two different types of Iyun Tfila. One type of Iyun Tfila is Kavana. Kavana is good. There's another type of Iyun Tefila, which is you wait for your tefilos to be answered in the way you want them to be answered. That, the Gemara says, is bad. Because at the end of the day, the Rivan Moshe Olam will make up his mind about how he wants me to answer my tefilos. So same phrase, but means different things in different places. Amar Rav Huna Breit Rav Yoshua, Tisili, Delo Sagina Dalar Amos Begile Harosh. So Rav Huna, son of Rav Yoshua, said, I should receive reward in world to come, because I never walked 4 Amos with uncovered head. Amar Rav Sheshes, Tisili, the kayamis mitzvah tefillin. Rav Sheish said, I should receive reward because I was mekayim mitzvah tefillin. But Amar Rav Nachman, tisili, the kayamis mitzvah tzitzis. Rav Nachman says, I was exceptionally diligent with the mitzvah tzitzis. Amar Rav Yosef, berei de Rabba. So Rav Yosef said to Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, Avucha b'may zohir. What was your father, Rabba? Right? What was your father's mitzvah? What was his mitzvah that he was very vigilant about. Listen to this. Amar Leis, Rabbi Yosef responded, but tzitzis. My father, Rabbi, was very vigilant with tzitzis. Why? For example, Yom Achad, Hava Kasalot Bedarga. One day my father was walking up a ladder. If Sikla Chuta, and a string of his tzitzis ripped off, V'lo Nochis V'asa Kama D'lo Ramya, and he would not come down from the ladder until he fixed the string. The idea was that he wouldn't even make a move without first fixing his tzitzis. But Amar Abaye, and Abaye says, listen to this, how beautiful this is, Rabbi Yosef. Tisi li, give me reward. Why? Tichi chazina tzurba mirabanan d'shalom mesechte. When I see a Talmud Chacham who finishes a mesechta of Gemara, top of Kof Yotes, avidna yoma tava d'rabanan. I make a yom tov for the rabbis. What does that mean, Rashi says? Avidna yoma tava d'rabanan l'talmidim Rashi Shiva. Remember, Abaye was one of the Rashi Yeshiva in Bavel. So he says that whenever I went ahead and saw one of the Talmidim finish a Masechta, I made a Seuda, I made a Yom Tov for everyone. So we'll say this Gemara is in and of itself one of the major sources for the concept of a Siyum. But the idea that when we finish something, we do make a major celebration. And what's interesting about this Gemara also is, this also proves the fact that the Siyum is not just for the individual who went ahead and finished the Masechta. But you see, Abaye is not just making it for the person who finished. Who is he making it for? The entire yeshiva. So you see that even people who didn't do the learning are still part of the simcha. Amar Rava. Rava says the following. Tisi li, give me reward. Dichi asat tzur mirabana lekamai ledina. Listen to this. So Rava was a dayan. So he said, give me reward. Why? Because when a Talmud Chacham comes before me in a din Torah, lo mazigna reshe abesajya, so Rabbi said, literally, I don't put my head on the pillow until I try to find the merits of his case. Now, what was Rabbi saying? Rabbi wasn't saying that I always decide, you know, in the favor of the Talmud Chacham. What he's saying is, whereas sometimes in a court, you know, a case comes before you, all right, they'll wait till tomorrow. If there was a Talmud Chacham involved, Rabbi said, I always made it my business to take care of the case. Take care of the case, whatever the resolution would be, but I made sure that I wouldn't put my head on the pillow until I took care of the case. Amar Mar Baravashi, Pasilna Le Litzurba Mirabanan Ledina. So Mar Baravashi said about himself that if a Talmud Chacham comes before me to adjudicate the case, I automatically recuse myself because I am puzzled. My taima, the chaviv alai ki gufai. So Ravashi said, because I love Talmidei Chachamim like I love myself. The ein adam roe chov liatzma. We'll say a very profound statement. A person does not see fault in themselves. So therefore, because you did, so Ravashi is saying, because I love Talmidei Chachamim like myself, the same way that I wouldn't adjudicate my own case, because it's very rarely that we find ourselves guilty, I recuse myself from every din Torah that involves Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Chanina me'atif v'kai apanya d'mali Shabbos. So we'll say now the Gemara goes back to the discussion about preparations for Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Chanina, this is very beautiful as well. Rabbi Chanina would go ahead and wrap himself. Rashi says mis'atif b'begodim noim. He would wrap himself in beautiful clothing. V'kai apanya d'mali Shabbos. He would stand to greet the Shabbos. Amar, and he would say, Bo'u v'netze likras Shabbos hamalka. So literally what he would do is he would stand at attention in a state of readiness and tell his students who were around him, come, let's go and greet the Shabbos queen. Go and greet the Shabbos queen. Rabbi Yanai, lovish mane male Shabbos. Rabbi Yanai would go ahead and also put on his fine clothing on Erev Shabbos. And he would say, Bo'i kala, Bo'i kala. So I'll say this is where this terminology comes from as well. And he would go and he would say the phrase, come let us greet the bride. What's interesting about this is two different ways of referring to Shabbos. Right? In the first case, again, Shabbos was referred to as a queen, and here Shabbos is referred to as a kala, which also, again, we don't have too much time to go into it today, but it also helps to highlight different aspects of Shabbos itself. Okay. Rabba bar Rav Huna ikla lebei Rabba bar Rav Nachman. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna went to the home of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna went to the Rabbi Bar Rav Huna went to the home of Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman. Krivule tlos sovi tochi. They brought out three sa'ah of oiled wafers. Oiled wafers. This is wafers covered in schmaltz. you know, these were the days when cholesterol was good.
Right,
so,
right?
So, Mamish, you had these wafers covered in schmatz. Okay. Amrle, so this is actually a funny story. Amrle, mi hava yadisun da'asina? So, let's say, apparently, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna showed up to the house of Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman unannounced, and they brought out this delicacy of these oiled covered wafers. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna was surprised. He said, "Wow, I'm honored. Did you know I was coming?" So what did they say to him? Amrle, mi adifas lan mina? They said to him, "Listen, buddy, don't get too carried away. They're not for you, right? It's for Shabbos, right? Are you any better than Shabbos? Meaning, we didn't prepare this for you. We prepared this in honor of Shabbos." Okay. Rabbi Abba, Zobin B'Tleisar Astiri, Pshite Bisra, Mitleisar Tabchi. Rabbi Abba said the Gemara is going to talk about the different preparations that these Rabbanim did for Shabbos. So Rabbi Abba bought B'Tleisar Astiri for 13 Astiri, Pshite Bisra Mitleisar Tabchi. So he brought Astiri as an amount of money. So he went ahead and he bought 13 astiri worth of meat, mitleisar tabchi, from 13 different butchers. So the idea is he went to the various butchers and got their finest cut of meat for Shabbos. And what would he do? Umashlin le atzinura didasha. Now what happened is he wouldn't go to all the 13 butchers at once. He'd go to a couple and then come home, and he would leave the meat at the doorway. Now what that means over here, Rashi points out over here, Umashlim lu atzinura didasha lifnei bo'am lahavi lo basar hayam. So actually, if you skip down to the second approach of Rashi, Rashi says over here that what he would do is his cooks, his kitchen attendants would meet him at the doorway. He didn't want to lose any time because to go to 13 butchers on Erev Shabbos is a big deal. So he would quickly hand them over the meat at the doorway and they would begin to prepare it. But Amrlu, he would say to his cooks, Ashur hiya, Ashur haya. Hurry up and do it, hurry up and do it. Meaning what he would tell them is, quickly get a head start on cooking what I've given you because I'm going to come back with additional meat soon. Rabbi Avo, Hava Yosef Atach Taka Dishina Umoshev Nura. Now, I'll say, what the common denominator among these stories is going to be is you see great Rabbanim engaging what would otherwise seem to be pretty regular and mundane tasks. And the point is that for the sake of Kavod Shabbos, nothing is mundane. Everything is considered to be Kadosh. So here you have Rabbi Abba running around to the butcher. You have Rabbi Avo, who is sitting at Tachtaka Deshena, is a stool of ivory. A stool of ivory, Rashi says, Pashtudo Shalshen Shechoshevu Va'ashir. Now the idea is Rabbi Avo was very wealthy. To have a stool of ivory is a very big deal. So here's the interesting contrast. He was very, still is, right? He is very wealthy, yet what was he doing? Umoshif Nura. He was fanning the fire. Now, Bipashtus Rabbi Avo, if you have a stool of ivory, you've got other people who could fan your fire. But the idea is, L'Kavod Shabbos, even these most simple and menial of tasks are significant. Rav Anan Lavish Gunda. Rav Anan would wear a gunda. What's a gunda? Not a gunda. What is a gunda? Rashi says, Lavish Gunda, Kli Shachar, Lahodia Shayom Eno Kedai Lishantlis Lihisnai Bechashivus, Milis Asik Bitafshili Shabbos Vol Yitnaf Begada Bishol Kederos. A gunda is like an apron. Literally a black apron. So the idea is that Rav Anan would put on his apron Erev Shabbos. Why? To show that today is not a day to keep your clothing clean. Right? Today, Erev Shabbos, is a day to get dirty. The Tana Debir Rav Yishmol, Begodim Shebi Shabbayim Kedir L'Rabo, Al Yimzog Bayim Kol Shabbos. Rav, so we just had this Gemara a couple of days ago. That literally, the clothing that you use to cook for your master, you should not use to pour the cup for your master. The idea is that for cooking, you have different clothing. And this is what he wore on Erev Shabbos. Rav Safra Machrich Reisha. Rav Safra would singe the head of the animal. We'll say that, if you were cooking the head of the animal, you would singe it to get the hair out. So the idea is he's preparing the food. Rav Malach Shibuta. Rav would salt the fish. Rav Huna Madlik Shragi. Rav Huna would light candles. Rav Papa Godel Psilta. Rav Papa would braid the wicks. Rav Chista Paris Silka. Rav Chista would cut up beets, dice beets. Rav of Rav Yosef Matzlich Tzivi. Rabbi Yosef would cut strips of wood, again, to fuel the fire. Rabbi Zira Matzetes Tzisusi. Rabbi Zira, what is Matzetes Tzisusi? Look at Rashi. Matzis or Be'itim Dakim. So Rabbi Zira would actually throw the small pieces of wood into the fire. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mekasef V'ayil Mekasef V'nafik. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak will be schlepping things into the house and out of the house. Amr Ilu Meklin Li Rabbi Amr Rabbi Asi Milov Mekasvina Kamayhu. So he used to say, so Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak would say, if Rabbi Amin Rabbi Asi were coming to visit me, would I not be schlepping things in and out of the house to prepare the house? All the more so, the Shabbos Malkis is coming. Of course, I should prepare. The Ikeda Amri, others have a different version of this story. Rabbi Am, Rabbi Asi Mekasi Umaili. Rabbi Am, Rabbi Asi are the ones who were schlepping stuff in and out. The Amrula, and they said, Ilu Ikla Lan Rabbi Yochanan Milo Mekasvinan Kame. Right, if Rabbi Yochanan was coming to us, would we not be schlepping things in and out? All the more so, the Shabbos Malkis is coming. Fine. I will say, common denominator is that you see even great people engaging in what would otherwise be menial tasks. But for the sake of Shabbos, everything is kadosh. Well, it's a famous maisa. Yosef Mokir Shabbi Haba. There was a man by the name who was known as Yosef, the one who honors Shabbos. Mokir Shavei, the one who gives honor to the Shabbos. Yosef, in children's books, it's become Yosela Mokir Shabbos. Right? Okay, started out as Yosef, it became Yosela. Yosef Mokir Shabbos. Ha'u Nachri Vishvavuse Tohavi Nefishe Nechasei Tuva. There was a certain Gentile in his neighborhood who was exceptionally wealthy. Amrulei Kildai Kulu Nechasei Yosef Mokir Shavi Achelu. So some Kildai, the Chaldeans were known for their ability to tell the future. So some sorcerer told him that I see in your horoscope that Yosef Mokir Shabbos is going to one day take all of your wealth. So this Gentile got very nervous. Azil, Zabninhu Lekuli Nichasi. He sold off all of his wealth. Zabin Behu Marganisa. And literally he converted all of his wealth into one jewel. One Marganisa. Marganisa can mean a pearl. Marganisa could also just mean any kind of precious stone. The idea is he figured he could watch all of his wealth if he transforms it all into one object. One object I could watch. Osva b'sainei, what he did is he put it in his hat. He put it in his hat. So Rashi actually points out over here, Osva b'sainei, he made for himself a nice felt hat, and he made settings within the hat itself, and he put this very special jewel in the hat. Fine. B'hali dika'avar mivra, once he was crossing over a bridge, afriche zeka shadje b'maya. He was once crossing over a bridge, a wind came and blew off his hat. Bale kuvra, and a fish, now again, the fish didn't swallow the hat, the fish swallowed the jewel. Fish swallowed the jewel. Asku. So what happens? They caught this big fish on Erev Shabbos. Aisuhu aipanyu demali shabso. So they went ahead and the fishermen caught this big fish late on Erev Shabbos. The problem was it was a nice mamish, a gizumto fish, but it was already late on Erev Shabbos. Omri man zobin ki hashta. So they said, who's going to buy this fish now? Because again, anybody who would buy a fish like this has already made their Shabbos preparations. Omri asa, word got out, zilu antiyuhu legabi Yosef Mokir Shabbi. Bring it to Yosela Mokir Shabbos, right? Yosef Mokir Shabbos, he always does everything on the Kavod Shabbos. He'll buy it even at this late hour. The Rogil de Zabin, he'll buy it. Amtiyuhu Nehele, they brought the fish to him. Zabne, sure enough, Yosef Mokir Shabbos bought it. Kare, he opened it up. Ashkoch Be Marganisa. And sure enough, what did he find? When he opened up the fish, he found the beautiful jewel. Zabne, he sold it. Betleisar ilisa to dinari dava. Literally, the Gemara says he sold it and it gave him enough money to fill up 13 attics filled with gold. Okay, point is he made a lot of money from it. Diversify your assets. That's right. Pagavei Ahu Saba. So a certain elder met one day Yosef Mokir Shabbos. And he said, Yosef, you know what we learned from you? Amar man di Yosef Shabsa Parish Shabsa. One who borrows for the sake of Shabbos will be repaid by the Shabbos. The idea is that literally Yosef Mokir Shabbos always went out of his way to go ahead and spend the money for the sake of creating a beautiful Shabbos. And you see over here that his efforts were rewarded. Boy mine Rebbe, me Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. Ashirim Sheba Eretz Yisrael B'mahin Zochim. So Rebbe asked from Rabbi Shmuel, the rich people in Eretz Yisrael, In what sichos do they become rich? Amrlei, b'shil shema asrin, because they tithe, shene emar, aser ta aser, tzvi darshin, aser b'shvil shetit asher. The Torah tells us if you tithe, tithe on the condition that you will become wealthy. That tithing is one of the few mitzvos where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we could tithe on the condition that we should be rewarded for our tithing. Shebe bavel b'mahin zokin. What's the chus do the Jews of Bavel have that they become wealthy? Meaning, what's the chus do the wealthy Jews of Bavel have in that they became wealthy? Amalei b'shil shemechabdin es haTorah. Because in Bavel they are very careful to honor the Torah. V'shebishar arotas b'mahin zokin. And all the other lands, what merit do people have to become wealthy? Amalei b'shil shemechabdin es haShabbos. Because they honor Shabbos. Da'am Rabbi Chibar Abba, Pam achas nis arachti etzel balabais bidulukya. Right, excuse me, Buludukya. Bulutkya. One time I was a guest by a balabas in Lutkya, which is clearly outside of Eretz, outside of Babel. The view the fun of Shulchan Shalzav, and they brought before him a golden table. Masui shisha asar b'nei Adam. That had to be carried by 16 people. V'sheish esrei shalshalos shalkesef kavu ospo. And there were 16 silver chains embedded in the table. Ukaros, kosos, vikitonios, utzluchios kavu ospo. And it had all matching gold utensils, of plates, of cups, of ladles, of pitchers. V'alav kolmine meichol, v'kolmine megadim. And there were all types of food, all types of delicacies, ubisamim, and fragrant herbs. Ukishamanichim osa omrim. And when they put the table down, everybody assembled says, La Hashem ha'aretz umlo'o. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'kishem salkin oso omrim. When they take the table away, they say, Hashamayim shamayim la'Hashem va'aretz nasan l'bni adam. Amarti lo, I said to him, B'ni, b'mez achisa l'kach. My son, how did you merit such incredible wealth? Amar li, he said to me, Katzav ha'isi. I was a butcher. U'mikol behema shahaysa no'eh. And any animal that I had that was nice, Amarti Zutehe l'Shabbos. So they said, anytime I had a nice animal, I always set that aside for Shabbos. Amarti lo, Ashrecha shezachisa. Praiseworthy are you that you merited this blessing. Ubarach hamakom shezikech lakach. And blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has bestowed this upon you. Amar lekeis al Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Listen to this. The Caesar once said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Mipnei ma tafshil shal Shabbos recho nodev. This is interesting. So the Caesar said, tell me, why does the chalent always smell so good? Right? Why is it that the aroma of Shabbos food has a different type of aroma than foods of the rest of the week? Amarlo, so he said, tavlin echad yesh lanu v'Shabbos shmo. We have a special ingredient, and it's called Shabbos. Sha'anu matilin l'socho. We put the ingredient into the food. V'recho nodev. And it's fragrant. It's fragrance. Just wafts. Amarlo, tein lano hemenu. So the Caesar said, great, where could I buy some? Right? Can you give me some of that ingredient? Amarlo, so he said to the Caesar, kala meshaber es ha-shabes mo'ilo, v'she'eno meshaber es ha-shabes eno mo'ilo. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. You only get the ingredient comes along with Shabbos. If you keep Shabbos, you get the ingredient. If you don't keep Shabbos, you don't get the ingredient. The Reish Kalusa says to Rav Hamnuna, what is the meaning of the pasuk? So here he's quoting the pasuk from Yeshaya. Ulekdosh Hashem mechubad. This Rosa is the pasuk that we spoke about before, speaking about intashiv mishabbos raglecha, asos ritzonecha, chafatzecha, the idea of not doing your needs on Shabbos. Lekdosh Hashem mechubad. Literally, it will be sanctified for God in a state of glory. So the Gemara says, Amalei zeyom kippurim. This is the first Yom Kippur. She'im bo lo achila v'lo shtiyo. Doesn't have eating and drinking. So you can't be mechabed through having a meal. Amar Torah, kabdeu biksus nekiyah. So Torah says, that which is holy to God should be honored. A reference to Yom Kippur. So how should you honor Yom Kippur? Piksus nekiyah, with clean clothing. V'chi badito, and you shall honor it. Rav amar lahaktim. How do you honor the Shabbos? Rav amar lahaktim, Shmuel amar la'acher. Rav says by having your meal earlier. Shmuel says by having your meal later. So we'll say the idea of having the meal earlier would be that you're so eager to have the Shabbos that you bump it up, you make it a little bit earlier. The idea of pushing it later, according to Shmuel, is you increase your appetite. You increase your appetite, and therefore you eat with a greater gusto. Amar le, Amrlei, I'm sorry. Amrlei b'nei Rav Papa bar Abba lo Rav Papa. So the sons of Rav Papa bar Abba said to Rav Papa, Kigon Anan, v'shachiyach lon bisra v'chamra kol yoma b'mai nishanye. So the sons of Rav Papa said to Rav Papa bar Abba, said to Rav Papa, we who drink wine and eat meat every day, how is Shabbos different for us? Amrlei, he responded, very simply, irigalisu lakdume, if you normally eat early, acharuha, delay your meal. Irigalisu lacharuha, if you normally eat later, akdamuha, eat earlier. Rav Sheshes bekaita, mosiv lehu rabbanan hecha demachi shimsha. Now, I will say, it's very interesting. Rav Sheshes was blind. Right, the Gemara calls Rav Sheshes elsewhere Saginar. Right, Rashi says it over here. He was blind. So what would happen? Remember, we spoke about earlier that on Shabbos, the Rav would often give a shear before the meal. The problem that Rav Sheshes had was when to know when to stop lecturing, because at the end of the day he was blind, so he couldn't necessarily see people fidgeting, you know, in their seats that they were getting hungry. So what did he do? So he went ahead and he would put the Rabban on in the during the summer. He would put them in the place where the sun would shine. Bisisva during the fall, most of luhu Rabbanan hecha dematchitula. He would put them under the shade. And I will say, what's the chab? Because in the summer, when midday would come, which is when he would want to stop, the sun would be hot, and the rabbis would get very hot. And therefore, they'd begin shuffling. He would hear them moving around in their seats. In the fall, if they were in the shade, they would begin to get cold and also begin to move around. The idea is because he couldn't see the audience, he knew that whenever the weather became too extreme, the rabbis would start shifting around, and that was the sign, okay, we'll stop here. So the Gemara says the following. In order they would get up quickly. Rabbi Zera Nahader Azuzi Zuzi Drabanan. Rabbi Zera would always follow up with different pairs of the rabbis. Now what does that mean? Rashi says that whenever Rabbi Zera would see two rabbis, so Chavrusa speaking and learning, he would say to them, Amarlei, b'matusa minaychu lo techala lenuha. Don't be mechala l'shabbos. In other words, he was saying, go home, right? Go home and eat your meal. It's very nice that you're learning. Again, especially when you get involved in a conversation with someone. I know that you're involved in the conversation, but please go ahead and go home. Don't be mechala l'shabbos. What he means is go and enjoy your meal. Amar Rava v'itim Rav Yishov ben Levi. Afilu yochit ha-mispala be'erev Shabbos, tzarech lomar v'yichulu. Even if a person is davening by themselves on Erev Shabbos, you have to say v'yichulu. Do Amar Rav Hanuna, kol mispala be'erev Shabbos, omar v'yichulu. Whoever davens on Erev Shabbos and says v'yichulu, ma'ala ala v'akosov kilu nasa shutof l'akodesh baruch hu ma'aseh bereshis. When you say v'yichulu, Rabosai, it's as if you become a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the act of creation. Shene emar, vayichulu, al tikri vayichulu, elo vayichalu. And they completed. The idea is that if I recognize the Ribono Shel Olam's dominant role in creation, I literally have the ability to partner with God in the creation of the world. Amar Rabbi Elazar, minayin shadibur kim, I'm sorry? So the Gemara is dealing over here with one individual. We do it, the minhag today is to do it with two people because it's a din in Eidos. But that's not what the Gemara doesn't discuss that. So the Gemara said the following. How do we know that speech is like action? Because it was with the word of God that the heavens were created. Beautiful this is. However, davens on Erev Shabbos and says vayichulu. Again, remember, vayichulu is the reason why it's so important is because it's the paragraph that highlights the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the creator of the world, and that on Shabbos, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that all was complete. So it's a recognition of the involvement of the Ribon Sholom in the universe. So whoever says vayichulu on Erev Shabbos, shnei malachi hasharis, hamalavin lo la'adam, the two malachi hasharis, the two ministering angels, who accompany every individual. We'll say again, we have this idea as well in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that every person has two malachim that accompany him wherever he goes. What do? Manichin yedehen al rosho, they place their hands on his head. Va'omrim lo, and they say to him, Visar avonecha, your sins should go away. Vechatosecha tichupar, and all of your sins should be atoned. Amazingly enough, by recognizing the role of the Ribono Shel Olam in the creative process, a person has the ability to go ahead and purge themselves of their sins. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Omer, Shnei Malachi Asharis Melavim Lo Adam Berev Shabbos, Yivei Zakneses Labeso. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda says the following: on Shabbos night, two ministering angels escort a person from Shul to his home. Echad Tov, beautiful Gemara will say, Echad Tov VeEchad Ra. One good angel, one bad angel. Watch this. Ukishet Ba Labeso, when they come home with the individual, see, here's the following: Matza Ner Daluk V'Shulchan Aruch Umitasa Mutzas. If they find the house in order, that the candles are lit, the table is set, literally the bed is made. Bed is made means that the home is clean. The home is in order. I'll say again, what's the point? It's the point is that somebody who readies their home for Shabbos shows that Shabbos is important to them. If the home is in disarray, it shows that the Shabbos is not important. So if the Malachim come into the house and the home is in order, Malach Tov Omer Yiratzon Shetehei L'Shabbos Acheres. The Malach Tov says, Yiratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should be your will that this home should look like this next Shabbos. Umalach Ra One Amin Bal Karcho. And the bad angel has to answer Ame even against his will. V'im lav, and if you come home and the home is not in order, Malach Ra Omer, the bad angel says, Yiratzon Shetehei L'Shabbos Acheres. Ah, the house should be in disarray like this next week also. Umalach Tov One Bal Karcho Ame. Excuse me, Umalach Tov One Ame Bal Karcho. And the good angel has to answer Ame against his will. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Li'olam yisader adam shulchanu be'erev Shabbos. A person should always set their table on Erev Shabbos. Afa pi she'ino tzarach ela l'kizayis. This is important to note, that even if a person is not going to be eating a meal, or is only going to be eating a snack at their table, the table should always be set for Shabbos. It's an important idea, because sometimes a person is going to be eating out, right, over the course of Shabbos. The Shabbos table still has to be set. Again, you don't have to necessarily put out your dishes on there, but a person should put a tablecloth on the table, a person should be mechabed, should prepare the table. That's covered Shabbos. It's covered Shabbos. V'Rabbi Chanina, li'olam yisadir adam shulchan motzai Shabbos. Rabbi Chanina says a person should also prepare their table on motzai Shabbos. Malav malka, afa pi she'no tzarech ela l'kizayis. Even though you're only going to eat a little bit, the idea of preparing one's table on motzai Shabbos is a din also of the fact that some of the residual kiddush of Shabbos extends onto motzai Shabbos as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says here, Rashi points out to over here, but Motzai Shabbos, it's the third wine line in Tab and Rashi, Nami Kavod Shabbos, preparing the table on Motzai Shabbos is also considered Kavod of Shabbos. Lelavos b'yitziyaso derech Kavod. Ki adam hamalaves hamelech b'tseso min ha'ir. The same way that if an important person comes to visit you, you escort them out, so too we escort out the Shabbos in a Kavodic fashion as well. Chamin b'motzai Shabbos melugma. Eating hot food on Erev Shabbos, on Motzai Shabbos, excuse me, melugma means has refuah, has health benefits. I will say, chamin could literally mean hot water, or chamin can mean any, it doesn't mean chalent over here, right? Or it means just hot food. The idea is that, remember, on Shabbos day, there was a very limited amount of hot food that people were having. Very limited amount of hot food. So because of that, having hot food on Motzai Shabbos was a refuah. It was considered to be good for your health. Paschal Motzai Shabbos Melugma. Hot bread on Motzai Shabbos was also considered to be of refuah benefit. Rabbi Avo, listen to this. Rabbi Avo, havu avdin le ba'afuke Shabbos igla tilsa. Also listen to this. Rabbi Avo had always was mapped to have a fleshik malava malka. That's malava. Forget about tov pizza. Right, that's Malava Malka. Right, so Rabbi Avo would always have a igla tilsa means a third born calf, which was considered to be the most tender of meat. But interestingly enough, acha minei kol yasa, the only thing he ate from it was the kidney. He only had the kidney, right? He didn't eat the rest of the animal. Ki gadol avdimi avimi berei amale lama lecha laafsudei kulei hai nishbo kol yasa imale shapsa. So his son Avimi, when he grew up, said to his father, I don't understand, why do you shech the whole animal just for the kidney? Why don't you just take the kidney from the animal that you're shechting on Motzai Shabbos and just do that, right? It's just a whole new animal. So shavku, so as far as you know, that's a good point. So they left the animal alone, the eagle tils alone. V'asa aryeh achle. So what happened? One Motzai Shabbos, they decided to leave the eagle tils alone. And what happened? A lion came and devoured the animal. The idea being, as Rav said, that he thought he was cutting a corner and saving Amalava Malka. Sahaloch lemaisa, again, the lion came and devoured the animal. So Rav said, interestingly enough, some of the posts can bring down that you see from here that Malava Malka has to be its own separate suuda and should not be leftovers from Shabbos. the idea that that it shouldn't be just an extension of the Shabbos, no, it should be its own brand new sukkah. Okay. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Kala ona, I'm sorry?
Don't live with her a while.
Right. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Kala ona amin yeheshme rabba, mevorach, bichol kocho, korno gzardin. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, anyone who answers amin yeheshme rabba with all of his strength, was a very powerful Gemara. Whoever answers amin yeheshme rabba with all of his strength, korin lo gizardino. They tear up, the heavenly court tears up even a negative verdict. Even a negative verdict. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, Befroa peraos bi Israel, behisnadev am baruchu Hashem. Literally, Befroa peraos, Rashi says the following. Befroa peraos, bitol paranios, kigon parua. That literally when Rashi says Befroa peraos, it literally means when the debts are repaid, which is bitol paranios, when the punishments go away, behisnadev am, when the nation pledges itself, baruchu Hashem, when the nation extends itself in the praising of God, that's when the punishments are annulled. So when you say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, that in and of itself is the greatest praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and responding that with all of your heart, with all of your strength, tears up a negative verdict. So the Gemara says the following, my time before a pros, why are punishments taken away? Mishum de Baruch Hu Hashem, because we blessed God. Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afidu yesh bo shemetz shel avodah zarah mochilin lo. Even if a person has some aspect of idolatry, some stain of idolatry on him, it's forgiven if he says Amen Yehi Sharab with all of his strength. Ksiv hacha befroa pros uksiv hasam ki paruahu. This is after the chita egel. Amar Reish Lakish kala ona amin b'chol koch. Whoever answers amin with all of his strength, poschin lo sharei gan eden. The gates of Gan Eden are opened for him. Shene emar pischu sharim v'yavo goit tzadik shomer emunim. Al tikru shomer emunim. Don't call it shomer emunim. Don't read it. Ela shomrim amen. Rather, for whom are the gates of Gan Eden open? For one who answers amen. My amen. What does amen mean? Amar Rabbi Chanina kel melech ne'eman. Right. Amen is not its own word. Rather, amen is an acronym for kel God, who is the King, who is ne'eman, who is trustworthy. Trustworthy always refers to this idea that whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ultimately he's good for his word. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Yehuda Shlomo Mishmei Derav, Ein Hadleika Metzui El B'Makom Sheyesh Chilul Shabbos. Fires only break out in places where Chilul Shabbos is found. Shene Emar, Ve'im Lo, he's talking about fires on Shabbos. Amar Shene Emar, Ve'im Lo Tishmu'u Eilai, Lekadesh Es Yom HaShabbos, if you do not listen to me to sanctify the Shabbos, Olevilti Se'es Maso, Ve'itzasi Eish B'Sha'areha, Va'achla Arminos Yerushalayim V'lo Sichbe. If you don't listen to me to Mekadesh, to sanctify the day of Shabbos, fires will break out in your gates, they will eat up, they will consume the palaces of Jerusalem, and you will not be able to put them out. My velo sichbe, what does it mean you won't be able to put them out? Amar Avnachar Bar Yitzchak, Bisha'a She'in B'nei Adam Metzuyin HaKalosa. The fires will break out at a time where people are not available to extinguish them. When is that? Shabbos. Amar Abaye, Lo Charve Yerushalayim Ela Bishol Shechilu Ba'as HaShabbos. Jerusalem was only destroyed because they were Mechal Shabbos. Shene Emar, Umi Shabbososai, from my Shabbosos have they hidden their eyes, va'achel b'socham, and they have made it mundane in their midst. Amar Rabbi Avohu, lo charv Yerushalayim ela b'shol shebitlu kriyas shma shachris ha'arvis. One of the reasons Yerushalayim was destroyed was because they were mevatel, they negated the performance of the mitzvah of Shema in the morning and in the evening. Shene emar, hoy mashkimei baboker se'schar yerdofu, k'siv v'haya kinor v'nevel v'tof v'chalil v'yayin mishtehem v'espol Hashem lo yabitu. Uksiv lachin gala amim mibli das. I was supposed to say all the Gemara is going through now are different reasons why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Amar Rav Hanuna lo chavi Yerushalayim ela bishul shebitlu batinoko shel beis rabban. Yerushalayim was destroyed. Why? Because they were mevatel. They negated the Torah learning of young children. So the Gemara says, Shnei Emar shvoch al olal bachutz. Literally pour your anger out on the child who is on the outside. My tam shvoch, why does God pour out his anger? Mishum de olel b'chutz, because the child is outside, as opposed to where? As opposed to in the yeshiva. Right? That the children, they were mevata learning the Torah, learning of the children. Amar Ula, Lochav Yishlael Nishlo, Hayolahem Boshes Panim Zemizah. Jerusalem was destroyed because people no longer had embarrassment one in front of the other. What that means, Rabbi Osai, is it wasn't just that people were sinning, it was that when they sinned and they were caught, they didn't even have any kind of remorse that they were caught. Shine Amar, Hovishu Kito Eva Asu, Gambosh Lo Yevashu. Rabbi Yitzchak says Jerusalem was destroyed. Why? Because they equated the small, the one of lesser stature with the one of greater stature. In other words, they treated all people equally, which is not right. A great person has to be treated differently than a regular person. Shneemar v'haya ka'am kikoin. They made a regular person just like the kohen. Ksid basrei hibok tibok ha'aretz. The land will be emptied out. Amrav Amram Braid Rab Shimon Bar Abba Amram Shimon Bar Abba Amram Bichanina Lo Charu Yishlam Ela Bisho Shlo Ochichu Zezeh. Jerusalem was destroyed because they did not admonish one another. Right? They were not mochiach. They did not give musr to each other when they saw someone else doing something wrong. They just simply buried their head and ignored the actions of the other. Shanaim Ar Hayu Sarek Ya'ilim Lo Matzah Mir'eh. The great ones, the leaders, were like Elim, were like Rams. They did not find pasture. Ma Ayil Zeh Rosho Shel Zeh, right? Ma'ayel Zeh, Rosho Shel Zeh, B'tzad Snovo Shel Zeh. Just like when the ayo, when the ram grazes, so the head of one is by the tail of the other. Af Yisrael Sheba Osador Kav Shupenei Bekarka V'lo Echichu Zeh Zeh. So to the Jews of that generation, they hid their head by the tail of the other, and they were not mochiach. It was an incredible yisod. If you see someone doing something wrong, you see something wrong in general, so you can't just hide your head in the sand. You have to figure out how to deal with it, you have to figure out how to say it, but you can't just ignore the wrongs that are happening around you. Amar Rav Yehuda, Lo Chavri Yushlaim El Shabizu Bal Tamidi Chachamim. Jerusalem was destroyed because they were mevazeh, because again, they mistreated Tamidi Chachamim. Shene Emar, Vayihyu Mal'ivin B'malachi Elokim. They were mal'ivin, they were degrading of the angels of God. Ubozim Dvarov, they literally disparaged his words. Umistatim B'neviyav, and they mistreated his prophets. Ad alos chamas Hashem ba'amo, until the anger of God rose up against his nation. Ad ein mirpe, until there was no healing. May ad la ein mirpe. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol mevazet tamid chacham, ein lo refu l'makaso. Anyone who goes at his mevazet tamid chacham, there is no healing for his wounds. So I'll say again, in this version, the reason Yerushalayim was destroyed was because they mistreated Tamidi Chachamim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, may dichsiv al tigo, b'mshicha b'nviya al tareyu. Right? What does it mean? We'll stop over here. We'll stop. We'll pick up right here tomorrow here in Zashem. Good.